You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Ready to go on a Monday here in Eastern Iowa. Great to have you aboard as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. It is the Gym Class from the Circa Sports Iowa studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining me in a moment. And Isaac on the other side of the glass. And we'll talk with him. And you all out there are great listeners, and we'd love to interact with you and look forward to it each and every day here on the Gym Class program here on 1600 ESPN. Give us a text at 319-366-1600 with your thoughts about a busy sports weekend. Again, that's 319-366-1600. And you can also pick up the phone if you'd like and give us a call. That is also 319-366-1600 as we come your way on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Isaac, did you have a good weekend? The women's soccer team did.
Yes, they did. It was a really, I don't know, it was a really fun atmosphere. They set a new attendance record there. It was really awesome to see.
2,700.
Yeah. It was pretty loud there too.
May have had more there than there were at the basketball game. I'm just saying.
It was very full. They had to open up more space. It was pretty awesome.
All right, and we bring Mark into the equation. Good afternoon, sir. How are you? Boop. And there you go.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
I gotta hit the button squarely. I can't just hit it on the bottom left hand corner.
You're a rookie, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, good afternoon. And I don't know about you, but my mind is kind of on overload after a weekend of football, basketball, wrestling, all kinds of stuff. But it's such a fun time of year, and we're getting into the thick of things in football, and a great weekend for Iowa and Iowa State. In different regards.
Yeah. It was a darn good weekend pretty much all around the board, with one exception, in the state of Iowa as far as football, college football is concerned. Tough one for UNI. One they probably had to get down in Springfield, and unfortunately not only lost, but lost big to Missouri State, a team that was 3-6 going into that battle. So, I think the writing is on the wall at the Dome on Saturday, Mark. UNI is probably going to have to beat mighty North Dakota State, but we'll see.
Yeah, it sure appears so. That was a really surprising result to me.
It was. Going to get to a lot in the college football world, the pro football world, women's college basketball. We'll let you know where Iowa landed in the latest AP Women's Top 25. Men's basketball poll is out. Neither Iowa nor Iowa State is in the top 25, although the Cyclones did receive 10 votes this week. We'll talk a little about that and more here on the program. Let's start, though, before we get to Randall and a man on the phone line. Let's start with the Hawkeyes and their win 22-0 over Rutgers. A shutout victory, which earned the Hawkeyes at least a share of the Western Division title. And to be honest with you, Mark, there have to be some weird, weird things that are going to have to happen for Iowa not to be in Indianapolis in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it likely is an appointment in Indianapolis, either against Michigan or Ohio State. I thought Iowa's most complete game of the year. Certainly in the second half. Now, the first half was more the same at 3-0, but this one could have been worse without Deacon Hill's interception at the end of the first half. Had Iowa chosen to score instead of, or try to score instead of kneel at the end of the game, it could have been worse. But I just continually am amazed at Iowa's defense. Torrey Taylor had another good day punting the football. But overall, I think, at least in the second half, you take the game as a whole, 402 total rushing or total yards. You just haven't seen that every day. And caution to the wind, it's one game. I was wrong about Rutgers. I thought it was the fourth best team in the league. I was wrong. I think Iowa is now. I thought the bubble was going to burst for Iowa, and it certainly did not, far from it. So on to Illinois, right?
On to the Illini. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. We'll get the opinion of our listeners here coming up at 319-366-1600. I also thought it was Iowa's most complete game of the year, and offensively, defensively, coaching-wise. And I know it was talked about on the broadcast, but I agree. I thought it was Brian Ferentz's best coached game of the year, and he pulled all the right strings in the second half, certainly, and should be commended for that. Jeff on the text line, give Brian a gold star. Let's go to the phones, and Randall and Amanda first to join us on this Monday edition of the Gym Class. Randall, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, I completely agree. Brian Ferentz called a magnificent game. It's kind of ironic that it happens now with his career coming to an end at Iowa, but I tell you what, better late than never. And a big, huge growing step for Deacon Hill. Did you notice the way he was moving around in the pocket, moving up, moving side to side? He had some wonderful awareness of where the rush was coming from. He was getting rid of the ball fast. They called some nice screen passes. I think he just really took that first growing up step as a quarterback, and that's great to see. Great game by the Hawks, and very much looking forward to the last two.
Couldn't have said it a whole lot better, Randall. You want to co-host a radio program?
If it was alongside you and Mark, I wouldn't say no to that at all.
All right. Hey. All right. Appreciate the comments, Randall. Thanks.
You bet.
319-366-1600. As I think Randall hit it on the head with his comments there, Mark.
Yeah, he did. And thank you, Randall, for that call. And Hill's confidence seemed to grow with each series. Certainly in the second half. And I thought Brian Ferentz maybe simplified things a little bit and had a little more motion in the offense. No Cooper DeJean, no problem. The other number three had a pretty good game as well. And, I mean, Iowa preaches the next man in. Zach Ortworth, a freshman tight end who may not be playing if all and Lachey were healthy, comes up with Iowa's longest pass play of the year. Another really good call and good execution. So I think Randall was spot on with his comments.
Yeah, I think he was as well. And it was a domination. I mean, you take a look at it. You mentioned the total yards, 402 to 127. And Rutgers is not going to be, you know, they're not going to be mistaken for a high-powered, you know, 1 point per minute offense. We know that. They're in the Big Ten. But it was a competent offense, and the Iowa defense basically shut them down. The best shot that Rutgers had to score all game, for the most part, was a possible pick six at the end of the first half. Pretty much Deacon Hill's only mistake of the day. And I agree with Randall. Getting him out of the pocket, getting him moving, getting him mobile, getting him to the edge, that seems to be his M.O. Maybe Brian and Kirk found something with Deacon Hill as far as, you know, making him a better quarterback in that game. 8 receptions for the wide receivers. That is E-I-G-H-T, folks. 8. Iowa did not commit a penalty in the game. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek because there's basically, talk to any official, there's a penalty on every play. They weren't called for a penalty on Saturday Rutgers had many more than the Hawkeyes, seven of them. And Rutgers was rattled by the crowd. Crowd was great, I thought, Mark, on Saturday.
Yeah, I think five or six procedure calls on Rutgers. And Greg Schiano said after the game, that was it, that they mimicked crowd noise in the Rutgers practices, but it didn't really wasn't the same once they got inside Kinnick Stadium. And, you know, as excellent as this game turned out to be for Iowa, I really think in order for it to have success in the last two games, it really needs to improve red zone offense, not settle for field goals. You know, after that completion to Ortworth, Iowa had to settle for a 43-yard Drew Stevens field goal. And also, you know, success on first down and then, you know, carrying out a series or a set of downs sometimes is a problem for Iowa, and I think they need to get that cleaned up as well. But all in all, really good, solid performance.
Many texts to get to on the text line, 8371. So if I understand, Iowa wins one of the next two games, they go to Indianapolis. That is correct. If we lose both, which I don't see happening, but if we do lose both, how do we not go to Indianapolis? That would be pretty simple. Nebraska has to win their last two. Iowa has to lose their last two. Iowa has the tiebreaker over Northwestern. Iowa has a tiebreaker over Wisconsin. I guess if Illinois beats Iowa, then the Illini have a shot at it. They take on Northwestern in the last week. And Minnesota would have to beat Ohio State to have any shot. So Nebraska and Illinois, Iowa's two opponents coming up, Mark, still have an outside shot of edging Iowa to get to Indianapolis, but the Hawkeyes' magic number is one right now.
Yeah, there are scenarios to be certain. Iowa has the Big Ten West in its grasp, two-game lead, take care of business against one of the last two, and it's on to Indianapolis, and people are already saying, well, we're going to get killed in Indianapolis. So what? So what if you do? This was the goal at the beginning of the season. This was an attainable schedule. This is a team that most people said should win the West. And if it didn't this year, it's going to be tough in the future with the teams joining from out West. But, I mean, 8-2, two-game lead in the West with two games to play. Isn't this what Iowa fans expected? Maybe not the optics, but it's kind of what you expected, right?
True. And 31-48 saying with that in mind, it was sure nice to see the Fire Ferentz clan squirming. A very quiet weekend on social media. It was a quiet weekend, and it's a kind of a quiet Monday on social networking as well. 319-366-1600, Matt in Fairfax weighing in, really promising to see Caleb Brown do well on Saturday. Yes, did very well. Back to number three, as a matter of fact. There was murmuring in the crowd when number three touched the ball the first time on Saturday because everyone thought it was DeJean. Was not. It was Caleb Brown. He's back. So the our goal and our dream of having a penny come back as a temporary uniform is still out there, I guess, Mark.
Yeah, for now, it is still out there. And Caleb Brown has ascended to number one on the depth chart that is released today, for whatever that's worth. It appears Deontay Vines will not be a go this weekend. We'll get more from the head man tomorrow. And Tyler Ellsbury, listed as the number one center, Logan Jones not listed. So take that for what it's worth. Again, we'll likely hear more tomorrow from Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah. 7148 asking thoughts on Brian not wearing Iowa gear. To be honest with you, I didn't even notice it on Saturday until Saturday night when somebody did tweet that out or X that out. I don't know. What tweet? Is it tweet, Isaac? Are we still saying tweet?
I think they're technically called post now, but again, I call it Twitter and I call it tweet.
Okay,
still.
Posted that Brian was not. I don't know. Maybe it was Brian's personal protest. I don't know. Listen, it's not going to change anything. Brian called. Hey, you know what? If he wears all black and calls a great game, I don't think anyone is going to be upset about that. He's not going to be with Iowa next year. So perhaps it was a protest of his. Who knows? 319-366-1600 at 320. We will get to Iowa State's 90-49 in a moment because he texts in or they text in. As John Walter says, give me Sama more of that. Give me Sama more of that. That's hard to do. That's hard to say. Abu Sama was terrific. Iowa State was terrific. BYU was not. And we will talk about all that coming up as well as the rest of the college football world here in just a little bit. But finishing up with Iowa, Mark, it was a November Kirk. It was an emotional Kirk a couple times. Once when he was being interviewed by BTN afterwards, and then in the news conference as well with on a couple of different occasions. It was a very emotional Kirk. He likes his team, I believe. He likes all teams, but I think this team and what is happening right now with Brian, his oldest son, I think is playing on his shoulders a little bit.
Yeah, Kirk's I think an emotional guy anyway, but you add it all up, what has happened to Brian Ferentz, the injuries that have occurred, the challenges, maybe in the talent level. Go on and on the list. And this is a guy who sees his team every day. And, you know, what he has seen transpired in practice and then onto the playing field. More tears of gratification, I think, more than anything else.
Iowa came out, they didn't have the T-shirts. And by the way, I don't know how Michigan gets away with wearing T-shirts about Jim Harbaugh and other schools when they do the same thing, not necessarily about a coach. Anyway, my personal opinion right there. But I think that Iowa came out like a house of fire in that first drive, and I think they wanted to show the world that they were behind Brian Ferentz. Just my personal take on that.
Well, you can do the A equals B type thing, I think. I think that was part of it. In terms of why he wasn't wearing Iowa gear, I didn't notice. Maybe it was our friend Greg Morris, the equipment manager, maybe put the wrong gear in his locker. I don't know. I'll have to ask Greg. But I didn't notice that any more than, you know, the officials in the Iowa LSU National Championship game were black until Don Staley mentioned it. I don't know where that came from, but it's truth.
Iowa 5-2 in the Big Ten, 8-2 overall, and everybody else not over 500 in the Big Ten West, which had another very interesting weekend. Nebraska going down. Northwestern getting over. Northwestern is 5-5 at this point. How about Luke Fickell in Wisconsin, Mark? That is a real head scratcher to me. The Badgers now 5-5 overall. They're 3-4 in league play. And then you had Illinois going up against Indiana in a so not Big Ten type game with that. I mean, playing one we haven't seen in the Big Ten for a while, especially with the Big Ten West team. They were going back and forth all day at Memorial Stadium over in Shambana.
Yeah, they were. And fans want to change sometimes. And that's why the Fire Ferentz, Kirk ought to resign. crowd voice their opinion, and they have every right to do so. But I think that's also part of Kirk's being emotional too. But look what's happened to Wisconsin. Fickell, highly thought of, comes in. He might win a 5 Big Ten championships before he's done, but it's not so good this year. Deion Sanders, not so good. Remember him? Remember Colorado? Yeah, they're probably not going to go to a bowl game. And Lincoln Riley can't get out of the way of his defense. I mean, again, be careful what you wish for. And these are guys that maybe not being paid as much as Jimbo Fisher, but damn close.
Y'all, and it was almost Black Monday today for college football coaches and assistants. If you missed it, Penn State letting go of their offensive coordinator. That after the bad showing by Penn State in that game against Michigan. Mississippi State did not even give Zach Arnett a full year. Zach Arnett, former assistant to Mike Leach on that particular staff, he was let go. And also, of course, Jimbo Fisher. We'll get to Jimbo coming up in a little bit. And Boise State is going to be having a new coach next year. Brady Hoke, before he was fired, resigned today at San Diego State. So you got a lot of coach, and this is going to happen, I think, more and more, Mark. You're going to have this in this era of the portal and NIL. It's always been lately, what have you done for me lately? And I think we've taken that to the nth degree now.
Yeah, there's going to be more. We know that. Fisher is really surprising to me. Brady Hoke, you know, had a nice career. Probably going to settle into San Diego and live out a good life. And but the offensive coordinator being fired at Penn State, my God, they just played the best defense, if not the best defense in the country. They scored 15. And the guy's out the door. Crazy.
Michigan did not throw a pass in the second half on Saturday at Happy Valley.
30 straight runs.
I mean, Matt, the Michigan fan, I'm sorry. I am not a Michigan fan, and I am even less now about what everything has happened. But I got to tip my hat to you and the Wolverines. That was a thing of beauty. In the second half, we have not seen that in a long, long time. 319-366-1600. Before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, let's go to back to the phones and bring in Rick in Cedar Rapids with a comment about Brian Ferentz's shirt. Hi, Rick. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, folks?
Doing great for a Monday.
That's good. Yeah, I understand that the sweatshirt was black fabric with a black Iowa, and I don't know if it was a separate stitching or if it was embroidered on or exactly what, but I guess it was not something easy to see.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, it kind of does, but you will have to ask Greg Morris, the shoe guy, what he put out there for Brian and company.
He will rarely make a mistake, I can tell you that.
Oh, exactly. He's a very professional guy, Greg.
Yes, he is. Been on the show many times before.
Been you on that.
Yeah. Rick, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. 319-366-1600. There we go. We are to the crux of the controversy. Thank you, Rick, for that. 319-366-1600. We're going to get to that Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up here in just a little bit. 6028 letting us know Eddie Baku at Xavier wore a penny in a couple of games this year. Love those pennies. We went into that discussion on how many former Hawkeyes wore a temporary jersey We did that last week. Hawks have done this without four starters, quarterback, two tight ends, and a defensive tackle. So 0-9-4-5. Now, the defense had a lot of depth at that position. But I get your point. No Noah Shannon there. Be proud of this team, says 0835, for overcoming the challenges and proving everyone wrong. Love to see the offense clicking, hopefully only getting better for the end of the season. Very impressed with Brown. Really helped off, open the passing game, 200 yards passing. That was great to see. I agree with all this, but keep in mind that there's still two games to play, and Iowa still has to win one of those particular games. And, yeah, we're going to get to that piece of news, 1900, coming up here in just a little bit. We will get to Jimbo Fisher, the latest multi-gajillionaire in the state of Texas, did it the hard way. But, Mark, going to get it to you for an Emil Sideways scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast. They're open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com.
A lot of items on the scoreboard today. As 1900 mentioned, Spencer Petras, former Iowa quarterback who was injured last year, is in the transfer portal. 1900, not understand, didn't know he had a year left. I'm telling you what, with COVID years and grad transfer, I can't keep track of it, but he is in the transfer portal. Division III NCAA playoffs, two Iowa teams have made it. Coe College, with only one loss this year, will travel to Aurora of Illinois. Wartburg will host Illinois College. Coe's only loss this year, a narrow defeat against Wartburg. Both games begin at noon on Saturday. The Green Bay Packers have announced that Aaron Kamen, former Iowa player, will be inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame. Next August, he will go in along with Clay Matthews. And awards day, Abu Sama of Iowa State named the Big 12 Newcomer of the Week. Owen Freeman in basketball named the Big 10 Freshman of the Week. And Caitlin Clark has won her own award for the umpteenth time Player of the Week in the Big 10. And finally, this is worth following. There are 82 bowl slots this year in college football. 58 right now are eligible. So hang on to your 5 and 6 teams or 5 and 7 bowl teams.
Yeah, there are going to be a few that are going to make it the way it looks this year. And for better or for worse about that. And, yeah, some – Caitlin Clark becoming Iowa's all-time women's basketball leading scorer yesterday, and a very nice video from Megan Gustafson, who, as she put it, left on an airplane as number one scorer in Iowa history and landed as the number two. So, but she knew that was coming. Had a very nice video. If you have not seen it, class all around for Megan Gustafson. The Iowa women it was a 15-point game after the first quarter, then really took care of business against a good UNI team, picked to win the Missouri Valley. The team picked to finish behind UNI is Drake, and they beat Iowa State yesterday at the Knapp Center in Des Moines. Big showing by the Bulldogs from three-point range yesterday in that particular ball game. We've got Monday Night Football coming your way tonight at 6:30, as it will be. I got to take a quick look here and make sure I've got the game. There we go. Denver and Buffalo will go at it tonight. That game not flexed out. Broncos will be on Sunday night as well. By the way, did we get enough shots of Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines last night, Mark?
On the sideline, on the field, he had a headset on the sidelines. Pictures of him sipping some bourbon Saturday night in Vegas. And this guy's pretty popular. But tell me that was an Achilles injury, and he's going to return in 3 months.
Nope.
Either there's been tremendous medical advancements, or this guy's superhuman. which he may be.
I don't think it was a ruptured Achilles. At his age, coming back, anyone coming back in that short a time. And the other question is, why would the Jets even play him if they are going to be 5-7, 5-8 at that point in the AFC? To me, that does not seem to be sound thinking. But we'll see. 3:34, we're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk about the Iowa State win over BYU. Cyclones are going bowling this year, and more when we come back to the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today. It's going to be nice and mild with temperatures in the low 60s. Then tonight we'll have clear skies and cool down into the low 30s. Tomorrow will be sunny once again. Temperatures will be in the low to mid 60s, and then we'll take it to the mid to upper 60s on Wednesday. Thursday will stay mild in the 60s, but a cold front will approach, leading to some more clouds and cooler weather for the end of the week. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Save on stuff you really need and stuff you bought for fun. Stuff you've always really wanted this holiday at Amazon. Stuff that is discounted if you're naughty or you're nice. Stuff to buy your grandma who drinks her Chardonnay with ice. Stuff to make you big and strong. Stuff we can name in this song. Stuff for lawns and decking halls. Save big on stuff at Amazon. Stuff.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
One innocent click could lock down your entire network for ransom. Hackers are getting more and more devious, so teach your employees to check before they click. When you open an email, hover over the address to see where it's really coming from. If it doesn't match, is misspelled, or looks off in any way, delete it. Remember, any email could be a trick, so check before you click. This message presented by Network Computer Solutions. Download their complete Protect Your Network guide at ncsei.com.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back, the sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Yeah, thanks to Kurt. And everyone has been asking Mark, so we'll just let everybody know that Mark Ironside, first appearance this Wednesday. Isaac, are you ready?
Yeah, Mark's he's really good at breaking it down. I don't know. I'm pretty excited. I liked him last year.
Everybody's excited.
Plus, I might only be saying that because I'm scared he might, or he would destroy me if I ever got into a fight with him. So.
Well, don't get in a fight with him. Don't poke the bear.
I wasn't planning on it, but I will only ever have nice things to say about Mark Ironside.
And B, you would not be the first one to be scared.
I think deservedly so. He has a track record, is how I'll put it, I guess.
Mark's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good. He wouldn't fight me.
He wouldn't do that. Tomorrow, Rob Gray, who covers the Iowa State Cyclones for Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will be joining us. And we will talk with Rob about the bowl-eligible Cyclones. the 3-0 men's team, and more. We'll do that with Rob coming up tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we will talk with Mark Ironside and then Chris Liss as well of Real Man Sports. And Mark, speaking of the Cyclones, big win on Saturday night. Cyclone fans had to wait all day, but it was well worth it. And Iowa State blew the doors off of BYU, a team that does not lose very often. I mean, a handful of times in the last two decades in night games at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo, but Iowa State played really well, and BYU did not show up. That thing was over 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah, this one's one's proud program is really a shadow of itself, and I'm talking about BYU. Optimal start for Iowa State. Couple quick turnovers, 10-0 lead, and it was, off to the races, and especially so in the rushing game. We talked about Abu Sama, 110 yards and two touchdowns, but it was also it was really a stable of running backs, and Rocco Beck was solid as usual. And aside from, early touchdown and the late one, the defense played well and just what Iowa State needed on the road. And I have to say this, I only made it through three quarters. But imagine if it was lopsided, so I was comfortable. Imagine if you're an Iowa State fan on the East Coast. That second half started after midnight. Now, maybe they don't care and they get a nap in, a pot of coffee, whatever, but that doesn't seem quite right.
Iowa State getting the – well, get used to it, both Iowa and Iowa State fans, because I got news for you. Pacific time zone games are coming as early as next year. After the think back to the Ohio game, all the consternation and hand-wringing there, not only on the field but off the field with Matt Campbell, others, et cetera, et cetera. And this team getting to six wins now, second place still, one game behind the leaders in the Big 12, and two very difficult games, but I know Iowa State fans very excited to have the opportunity to take on one more time the Texas Longhorns in Ames on Saturday night. By the way, 5:00 is our pregame for that one with John Walters and Eric Heft. And you can hear John Walters coming up at 4:30 on Spencer on Sports. Spencer Wagon will talk with the voice of the Cyclones, who, by the way, as well, they made it back for the basketball game at 11:00 in Ames. That was even more astonishing. John and Eric did that for that particular ball game against Idaho State. That was even more critical right there. But great win for the Cyclones, and doing it in the manner they have done with the personnel that they have done it with. You talk about, there is no team in the Big 12 and very few in the country that are playing as many freshmen and sophomores as Iowa State is right now. The future certainly looks bright for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones.
It does, and then they have some veterans sprinkled in. I think of TJ Tampa, a wonderful defensive back, and some upperclassmen on the lines. I mean, still, Dominic Orange is a sophomore, I think. So your point is well taken. They are not an old team by any means. And, in answer to 2369's text, what time did Iowa State get back to Ames? I really don't know. Maybe you saw.
No idea.
you talk about start times, on the West Coast. We're going to face it tomorrow night. 9:15 start for a Midwest basketball game between Iowa and Creighton, 10:15 Eastern time. We know why.
Oh,
it's television. But, 9:15 on a Tuesday night, yeah.
Yeah, it's all television. It's dictated by that. ESPN, with the Big 12 contract, wanted to pick up the BYU-Iowa State game, show it on ESPN's main channel. This is the time that it's going to fit into the schedule. Well, hey, Hey, BYU's in Utah. Put them at 9:15 Central Time. And the game didn't really kick off until almost 9:30 Central Time because Georgia was polishing off Ole Miss down between the hedges in that particular ball game. So they had to wait for that to get over and waited about 10 minutes. So I think it was about 9:26 that thing finally kicked off. So it was basically a 9:30 kickoff between Iowa State and BYU. But I tell you what, Cyclone fans would not care if they kicked it off at 11:30 the way they played and got that sixth win. And even a 6-6 year after that Ohio game for Iowa State, I think is a positive. One other thing with Iowa State, I had a friend of mine ask this question of me earlier on today, and that is, what about though J.J. Cole and his future? Do you see him staying in Ames behind Rocco Beck for 3 years in this day and age of portal and NIL? Maybe getting in an NIL, I guess. You know, that is always out there on the table because, you know, Rocco Beck looks like the guy now in Ames. And then also you've got Southeast Polk quarterback Connor Moberly coming in, another highly regarded quarterback in this year's class. So does J.J. Cole stick around in Ames? I mean, this guy was a four-star, Mark. If he did choose to leave, there's going to be no shortage of suitors for him.
No, I don't think so. And given the performance of Beck right now, he'd kind of be surprised if J.J. Cole stuck around.
I would be.
Injuries always happen. But you can't really bank on that. You really can't. And if you got the skill that Cole apparently has, not enough skill because Beck beat him out. But I'd be surprised if Beck continues the way he's going and Cole sticks around. But you never know about kids.
You don't. Maybe he loves it in Ames. Maybe he wants to stay there. I don't know. I'm sure he's got a little bet going with Abu Sama for the game on Friday night. It is Ankeny against Southeast Polk for the 5A state championship and a rematch. If you will. 319-366-1600. You mentioned Iowa and Creighton tomorrow night in men's basketball. That is a late start, 9 o'clock over in Omaha for that one. The final Gavitt games get started tonight. It will be the dawning of the Rick Pitino era. Yes, they are 1-0, but this is the first real test for St. John's and the new group that Rick Pitino has brought in. Michigan goes to MSG tonight on FS1 at 5:30, and then the nightcap, Purdue and Xavier from West Lafayette. And I would imagine Purdue is probably, I don't want to say going to have their way with Xavier, but the Musketeers lost a ton from that game, a really good team from a year ago, including Jack Nungy. So we'll see. But Purdue should get by Xavier somewhat handily tonight.
Yeah, in terms of Iowa, it's a really good measuring stick tomorrow night. Number 8 team in the country in Creighton. And on the road, fairly young team for Iowa. I'm really anxious to see how Iowa measures up.
I am as well. News out of the Iowa camp today. Fran McCaffrey letting everyone know that Ryan Mulvey is going to take a redshirt year this year. I think a very good move. If you recall, Mulvey came in as a reclassified center a couple of years ago, played sparingly in his first couple years for the Hawkeyes. Iowa bringing in, of course, Ben Cricke for this year. And I think a very good move by Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes to have Ryan Mulvey take another year, get stronger, learn a little bit more. As you and folks know, big men always take a little bit longer to develop. So I think a good move here by the Iowa coaching staff.
I think it's good for Mulvey too. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, I mean, he's never cracked the rotation at Iowa. Maybe he will next year. I don't know. But, I mean, that's a portal candidate as well. possibly at some point.
Yeah. Evan Braun's in there. He got his first playing time the other day for the Hawkeyes. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. As 68-97 on the text line. Nowadays, overall, if a quarterback leaves a program for a chance to start somewhere, it's more understandable. Look at it as he has 4 years to finish his playing career. Kay did it, and I'm a Michigan fan and wished him well, minus versus Michigan. Thank you. And yeah, you're seeing that more and more now. I don't think it's that it's not uncommon for quarterbacks to get out there. They want to get some playing time. Everybody wants to play, Mark. That's the bottom line. Everybody wants to play. And I wish I knew what time Iowa State got back.
We'll ask Rob Gray tomorrow. He'll probably know.
Yeah, or Spencer can ask John Walters what time he got to bed. Maybe he didn't.
Very true.
Maybe he didn't get to bed after the game and getting ready. I was shocked to hear them on Sunday. I really was. I was shocked to hear him do the game on Sunday. I thought someone else down the line was going to get that opportunity to do it. But, hey, good for those guys. 350, and we're going to take a short break, come back, and more on a busy Monday edition of the Gym Class to share with you. We'll do that when we return.
There's a hidden treasure on the banks of Squaw Creek. Edith Lucille's Bait Shack and Wing Depot, serving up down-home meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Try their Friday night special of seasoned prime rib that's been smoking all day long. Or give their Saturday night special, smoked barbecue brisket, a try. For great food and hospitality in a rustic, family-friendly atmosphere, come to Edith Lucille's Bait Shack and Wing Depot. Carry out is also available. Find their menu at baitshackbun.com.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 8th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
It's See Better, Drive Safer Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Replace your worn-out wiper blades and get up to a $20 O'Reilly gift card after rebate when you purchase a pair of select wiper blades. See store for details. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Stop by your O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You already know Prize Picks is the most fun you'll have this football season. But now you can play during basketball season too. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on the projected stats, and place your entry. You could turn $10 into $250. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Visit prizepicks.com/playnow and use code PLAYNOW. That's code PLAYNOW at prizepicks.com/playnow. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Back with you to wrap things up, 352 on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Rob Gray joins us coming up tomorrow to talk more about the Iowa State Cyclones. Mark, I think we'll table this until tomorrow, but I wanted to get into the whole Jimbo Fisher buyout situation. If folks missed it, if you're a college football fan or a sports fan, I know you did not miss it, but Jimbo Fisher, in fact, both he and the Mississippi State coach faced off against one another on Saturday. They are both without a job today, as they both are no longer the coaches at their two institutions. Jimbo Fisher, never really, that first year, yeah, a little bit, but other than that, never really got Texas A&M to where their boosters thought they should be. And boosters wrote a $75 million check to Jimbo Fisher to have him exit stage left at College Station. $75 million, Mark.
Well, I have thoughts and I have more details, but if you want to table, that's great.
Yeah, because we only got a couple minutes here, and I wanted to talk about that as well into the overall scheme of how college athletics work, because there's a lot of tentacles coming out of that, and so let's just save that for tomorrow before we talk to Rob Gray. Let's get to the NFL, though, and 27-05, five in a row for Skoll. Do you think the Vikings make the playoffs? I responded, could. Looked at the schedule. It wasn't tough this year, and it's not tough from here on in. They do play the Lions a couple times, as well as the Bengals. But after the first four teams, maybe five teams, the NFC is pretty bad. I think the Vikings could get in behind Dobbs.
Yeah, they could, and Jefferson's going to come back. Cousins will not, but Dobbs has been very good. You know, just when you think Cincinnati is back, not so much, as dropped a home game to Houston. Baltimore, best team in the league, not so much. Cleveland had dealt them a loss, and the Steelers are a remarkable story to me. Mentioned more than once, Mike Tomlin, never with a losing record, won a ton of close games, did so again yesterday. And then the Bears opponent this coming Sunday, the Detroit Lions. They're really good.
They are. Latest NFL hot take is C.J. Stroud to win the MVP. Let's just pump the brakes just a tick. Yeah, he's going to be the runaway winner of the Rookie of the Year. There's no doubt. Offensive Rookie of the Year. That is a shoe-in, I think, at this point. But, let's pump the brakes just a little bit. Not to say he hasn't been great. Not to say he's not played very, very well. But we'll see how Houston does. They tell you what, Texans are very much in the playoff picture in the AFC. Not a great division. Couple that with the fact they don't have a great schedule that they play, they could maybe find their way into the playoffs. We'll have to wait and see. They got Indy to deal with in that Southern, AFC South division. Again, we've got the Broncos and the Bills coming up tonight for you on Monday Night Football from Westwood One, and we'll have that at 6:30 for you this evening right here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM and 106.3 FM. And as I mentioned, Rob Gray will join us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk all things Iowa State with the man who covers the Cyclones for Cyclone Fanatic, as well as the Cedar Rapids Gazette. A lot to get to today in the old sports world, Mark.
Yeah, and a quick acknowledgement to the Iowa women's program with the basketball game we talked about. The soccer team setting an attendance record. Women's wrestling setting, I'm sure, some kind of record. Field hockey in the NCAA tournament. Quite a weekend.
And by the way, if the Iowa women are the eighth-rated wrestling team in women's wrestling, I hate to see the first seven. Well, they've already beaten two of them. I think they're pretty good. All right, that's going to wrap things up. Spencer on Sports coming your way next on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Mark, at 3.
Sounds good. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that